Please turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let us hear the word of God. For you yourselves know, brothers, that our coming to you was not in vain. Though we had already suffered and been shamefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we had boldness in our God to declare to you the gospel of God in the midst of much conflict. For our appeal does not spring from error or impurity, or any attempt to deceive. But just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, not to please man, but to please God who tests our hearts. For we never came with words of flattery, as you know, nor with a pretext for greed, God is witness, nor did we seek glory from people, whether from you or from others, though we could have made demands as apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children, being affectionately desirous of you. We were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you had become very dear to us. For you remember, brothers, our labor and toil. We worked night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you while we proclaim to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and God also, how holy and righteous and blameless was our conduct toward you believers. For you know how, like a father with his children, we exhorted each one of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. And this is our text, verse 13. And we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers. For you, brothers, became imitators of the churches of God in Christ Jesus that are in Judea. For you suffer the same things from your own countrymen as they did from the Jews, who killed both the Lord Jesus and the prophets and drove us out and displease God and oppose all mankind by hindering us from speaking to the Gentiles that they might be saved, so as always to fill up the measure of their sins. But God's wrath has come upon them at last. This is the word of the Lord. So this evening we're just going to look at the one verse, verse 13 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Which deals with the Word of God. I'm not going to be covering verses 14 through 16 in this series because they're about persecution. We've already looked at persecution in this series when we considered chapter 1, verses 6 through 10. And also we reflected on persecution in connection with a day of prayer for the persecuted church. Persecution is a very important subject in Scripture, but there's only so much that you can say about it. So this evening we'll focus on what Paul says in verse 13 about the Word of God. There's three subjects that we will look at this evening. First, we'll look at the idea of the Word of God itself. What does the Bible mean when it speaks about the Word of God? Second, we'll look at the fact that God brings His Word through men. The way that Paul speaks in this verse makes it clear that the Word of God came to the Thessalonians through the missionaries, through men. And Paul says that the Thessalonians had received the word of God from him and from those who were with him. And thirdly, we'll consider how the word of God works. Paul says that the word of God is at work in you believers. So that's where we're going this evening. First, the word of God itself. When Paul and the other missionaries preached to the Thessalonians, they were preaching the Word of God. It's a very important subject in the Bible. The God of the Bible is a God who speaks. The very significant characteristic of God. He is a speaking God. One of the ways that the Bible contrasts the true God with idols is that the true God speaks while idols do not. So we read in Psalm 115, 4 and 5. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of human hands. They have mouths, but do not speak. Eyes, or ears, but do not hear. tells us something very important about God. He wants to communicate with the people that he created. He is a God of relationships. He communicates. He reveals himself. Now, there are those who believe that God is not involved with the world at all. It's a worldview that is called deism. Deism is a belief that there is a God. They're not atheists. They believe that their God exists, that he created the world, that he set it in motion, but that he has nothing more to do with it. He's out there somewhere, but he is silent. He does not communicate to us. He's uninvolved. Well, that is certainly not the teaching of the Bible. The Bible itself is God speaking to us, as we will see, but the Bible also describes God as a speaking God. In the first chapter of the Bible already, we see God creating the world simply by speaking. The climax of that creation is mankind, made in the image of God, with the capacity for speaking and for understanding. We read of God and man speaking to one another. So right from the very beginning, we learn that God created man in such a way that there could be a relationship between himself and the people that he made. Clearly, it's God's intention that he and mankind will speak to one another, that there will be a relationship between them. So the fact that God speaks and that he created man to speak and to listen shows us that God's purpose in creating the universe included his involvement in the lives of human beings. Now, an important part of this idea is that God is present wherever his word is present. Whenever God speaks, he is there. Listen to these words from Deuteronomy 4, 7 and 8. For what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us? Whenever we call upon him, and what great nation is there that has statutes and rules so righteous as all this law that I set before you today? So Moses is saying that God is near to Israel because they had his statutes, they had his rules, they had his word. When God is speaking through his word, he is present. Now that's obvious when you think of God speaking directly to people like he did to Adam and Eve or with Abraham. But much of the time God speaks through people who hear the word from God and pass it on to others, like Moses did. But still, it is so that when God's word is near, God is near. The scriptures make a very strong connection between God and his word. In Psalm 19:161, the psalmist writes, "My heart stands in awe of your word." The reason that the psalmist stands in awe of God's word is that he stands in awe of God himself. There's really no difference between standing in awe of God and standing in awe of his words. God and his word are closely identified in Scripture. That means that when we read or hear the word of God, God himself is speaking to us. When Paul and the other missionaries spoke the word of God to the Thessalonians, God himself was there speaking to the Thessalonians. The word of God is not detached from God himself. Thessalonians accepted the message of the missionaries not as the word of God, but as it really was, the word of God. Because God is so closely identified with his word, the Thessalonians were being addressed by the living God himself through the preaching of Paul and the others. I want to mention three characteristics of God's word. First, God's word is true. God never says anything that is false. In 2 Samuel 7:28, David says to God, "And now, O Lord God, you are God and your words are true." Jesus, in his high priestly prayer, John 17, says to his Father, "Your word is truth." This is wonderful. In this sinful world, there's so much that is false. So many claims to truth, many of which are not true at all. we can have the confidence that when God speaks, whatever he says is absolutely true. Since God is God, what he says is the ultimate truth, the standard by which all other truth claims are to be judged. So from God's word, we can be confident that we know that God exists, that we know what he is like, what he expects from us, what is right, what is wrong, what is valuable, what is worthless, what life is all about, how we can be saved and receive eternal life, and so on. The word of God does not answer every question that we might ask, but it does address the most important matters of life and death, and it does so with absolute truthfulness. Second, the word of God is the highest authority. It means that we are obligated to respond to it in an appropriate way depending on what God is saying. We are obligated to believe the truth claims. We are obligated to obey the commands, to believe the promises, to fear the warnings, and so on. There is no higher authority than God's. He's the creator of all, he's the owner of all, he's the king over all. And when he speaks, we are to obey, we are to believe. So he says, you shall not have any other gods beside me. Fear God and keep his commands. Love God and love your neighbor. Repent of your sins. Believe in Jesus Christ and submit to him as your Lord. Do all things for the glory of God. These are some of the things that God says in his word, and they come to us with the authority of God himself. Third, God's word is powerful. Now, the words of some people can be quite powerful. Someone in a position of authority can get quite a bit done simply by speaking. But no other word has the power of the word of God. God created all things by speaking. God holds everything in existence simply by his powerful word. God says in Isaiah 55:11, my word shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I send it. And we look more closely at one aspect of the power of God's word when we consider the last part of what the text says, that the word of God was at work in the Thessalonians. So when Paul says in our text that the Thessalonians received the preaching of the missionaries as the word of God, he's saying something that is very, very significant. It means that God himself had come to the Thessalonians and he had spoken to them. They had heard the authoritative, the true, the powerful word of God. Great fact behind the biblical teaching about the word of God is that the God who created everything is a God who speaks and who therefore communicates with the people that he made. What was the message? It was the gospel message. It was a message that spoke of who God was and what he requires of us. It was a message about sin and accountability to God. Warning of judgment to come, the message of Jesus Christ and the way to escape the wrath of God through faith in his name, was a message calling people to repentance from their sins and to follow Jesus Christ. It was a message summoning the Thessalonians to acknowledge the one true God, to submit to him, to live for him through Jesus Christ. It was a message calling them into a relationship with God himself. But that message came through men, through people. So that's what we'll consider in the second place. Paul says that the Thessalonians heard the word of the Lord, the word of God, not from God directly, but through the words of the missionaries. You received the word of God, which you heard from us, Paul says. You accepted it, not as the word of men, but as it really is, the word of God. So God himself had spoken to the Thessalonians, but he had not done it directly. The message had come through men. Now, there were times before the Bible was written, before it even began to be written, that God spoke directly to people. He spoke to Adam and Eve. He spoke to Abraham. He spoke to Moses directly. spoke to Israel directly from Mount Sinai when he gave the Ten Commandments. In the case of Adam and Eve or Abraham, we don't know exactly how that happened. It may have been an audible voice. Perhaps God spoke directly into their minds. But however it happened, God spoke in such a way that they knew that it was God who was speaking to them. They knew that it was not some figment of their imagination. But during the time of Moses, God began to speak to his people through Moses rather than directly. There's a story about the giving of the law on Mount Sinai. When God spoke directly to the people from Mount Sinai, the people were terrified and ran away. They asked God that he might speak to them through Moses, who could then convey God's words to them. It was the beginning of the prophetic office. Deuteronomy 18:18-19 sums up the role that prophets were to play in God's communication with his people. Moses says, or God through Moses, I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers, and I will put my words in his mouth. And he will speak to them all that I command him, and whoever will not listen to my words that he shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him. It's a very important development in God's communication with mankind. Through the rest of the Old Testament period and through the beginning of the New Testament period, God spoke to people through prophets. But it's important to realize that God was still speaking, even though prophets were now involved. God says, I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to you all that I command him. There's no loss of authority. Whoever will not listen to my words, that he will speak in my name, I myself will require it of him. So even though prophets are now involved, God is still speaking to his people. The word of prophet, the word that the prophet brought, is just as much the word of God as if God himself were speaking directly. God is still present. God is still speaking. The word is just as authoritative. The fulfillment of the office of prophet is Jesus Christ. Jesus was the ultimate prophet. Hebrews 1:1-2 sums it up. Long ago, and at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in the last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. Jesus plays the key role, in God's communication with man. As the eternal Son of God, he was the one through whom the Father spoke to the people, even before his incarnation. John calls him the Word of God in John chapter 1. And while he was on earth, as the incarnate Son of God, as the God-man, he spoke the Word of God to the people. People who heard him speak heard God speaking to them. John 3:34, Jesus says, he whom God has sent utters the words of God. And John 5:24, whoever hears my words and believes on him who sent me has eternal life. John 14:24, the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. I mentioned earlier that through his word, God is present with his people. That's even more profoundly true in Jesus Christ. He is the Word of God. He brings the Word of God. He is God with us. He reveals the Father to us. Matthew 11:27. No one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. But Jesus also chose to bring his word to the people through his servants, the apostles. John 14:26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. John 16:13, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak and declare to you the things that are to come. And when we turn to the book of Acts, we find the apostles bringing the Word of God. Acts 4:31 says that in spite of the persecution, they continued to speak the word of God with boldness. a number of times in the book of Acts, Luke records that those who receive the preaching of the apostles receive the word of God. Apostle Paul was called to be an apostle in a unique way, and he was tasked to bring the word of God to the Gentiles. In 1 Thessalonians 2:4, Paul writes, "Just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, not to please man, but to please God." And our text is a very clear assertion of that teaching, that the preaching of the early missionaries was not the word of man, but the word of God. We have the inspired teaching of the prophets and Jesus and the apostles in our Bibles. That's why we call the Bible the Word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16, Paul writes, "All Scripture is breathed out by God." Now that refers to the Old Testament when Paul refers to Scripture in that verse. There's no question that the writings of the New Testament are also considered to be Scripture. In 2 Peter 3:16, Peter refers to the writings of Paul as Scripture, and the church has recognized that the rest of the New Testament is the Word of God because it comes with apostolic authority. What we have in our Bibles is this same Word of God. That means that when we read the Bible, when we hear it preached, we are hearing the Word of God, no less than when God spoke to Abraham or to Moses or when Jesus spoke to the people of his day. What Paul writes here about the Word of God is as true for us as it was for the Thessalonians. When we read the Bible, when we hear the preaching of the Word, God himself is speaking to us. Whenever we are confronted with the Word of God, God is addressing us. Doesn't mean that preachers of today are inspired in the way that the apostles were inspired, but it does mean that insofar as they bring the word of God, God himself is speaking through them. It's important to be aware of this. All that we have covered about the word of God is true of the Bible. What we have in our Bibles is the word of God, and through it God is speaking to us, no less than if he were speaking through Moses to Moses or if Jesus himself were physically present and speaking to us. It's through this word that God speaks to us today. He is present in his word. His word is truth. His word is authoritative. His word is powerful in our time. This is the word that accomplishes all that God sends it to do. And that brings us to our last point. Paul in this letter refers to the word of God as a word that works. He spoke of the word of God, which is at work in you believers. Now we've seen already that the word is powerful. All that God does, he does simply by speaking. He speaks and the universe springs into being. He sends the rain and the snow. He directs the course of nations by his word. The word of God is powerful. It works. This text refers to the fact that God, through his word, works in believers. It is at work in you believers, Paul says. The word and the Holy Spirit are very closely connected in this work. The Holy Spirit works through the word in the lives of those who are being saved and those who are saved. So Paul writes in Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God to salvation." The gospel is a message. It is conveyed in words. It is conveyed by God's words. And because these are God's words, they are powerful words. They do not only inform, they also change people. There's nothing else like this in all the world. The words of people are able to affect us in profound ways. But the words of people are not able to change us the way that the word of God changes those whom God decides to change by it. The word of God brings life so that people are brought from death to life through the word of God. The clearest picture and illustration of this is the story of Jesus bringing Lazarus to death, from death to life, simply by commanding him to come out of the grave. This is the same thing that happens every time God decides to bring a sinner from spiritual death to spiritual life through the gospel word. In John 6:63, Jesus says, "The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life." And a few verses later on, Peter says to Jesus, "You have the words of eternal life." And the beginning of spiritual life, comes through the powerful word of God, which the Holy Spirit uses to give life to the spiritually dead. 1 Peter 1:23, Peter writes, "You have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God." James, in James 1:18, "Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth." Powerful gospel is what God uses to give life to the dead. Of course, that doesn't mean that everyone who hears those words is going to be saved by it. God chooses whom he is going to save. In them, the gospel comes with power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. And when that happens, our hearts are renewed. We are born again. The law is written on our hearts. There's spiritual life where before there was none. The word of God is not only powerful in the beginning of spiritual life, Holy Spirit also uses it for our spiritual growth. When Jesus prayed for his disciples, one of the things that he asked his Father was to sanctify them, to make them holy by the truth. Truth of God's word is powerful in the sanctification of the people of God. Acts 20:32, Paul says to the Ephesian elders that he, as he is about to leave them, he says, "Now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up." Romans 16:25, as he brings the letter to the Romans to a close, he writes, "Now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ." The author to the Hebrews in chapter 4:12 writes, "The word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of the soul and of the spirit and of the joints of the marrow, discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart." Peter in 1 Peter 2:3 writes, "As newborn infants long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation." This is what Paul is talking about when he says in our text that the word of God is at work in believers. Word of God is a powerful word that works. Keeps the world in existence, guides the course of history, but it also gives life to the spiritually dead and builds up the people of God. The word of God, what a tremendous blessing it is. God speaks to us. God does this because he wants to interact with us. God uses his word to bring his people to salvation and to build them up. How we should treasure the word of God. It's amazing that God should want to talk to us. But the Bible makes it clear that he has taken great pains to do so. Even though we are but creatures that God has made, he has made us to be able to hear, to be able to understand his word. He has spoken to us through that word. When Adam and Eve chose to disobey the word and listen to the word of Satan instead, God came to them with both a word of judgment and a word of salvation. And that word of salvation was about Jesus Christ. And in due time, he came, and by his life and death and resurrection, he brought to us the word of life, which is the gospel, which is the power of God to salvation. And that gospel word does what no other word can do. When it is blessed by the Spirit, it transforms lives. It draws us powerfully to Jesus Christ, and it builds us up in the faith. Let us treasure the Word of God. Through it, God saves us, He sanctifies us, He reveals Himself to us as His love, as our loving Father who delights to have fellowship with His children. Let us pray. Lord, again we stand amazed before Your great majesty. You are far greater than we can comprehend. You are infinite. You are eternal. You are almighty. There is no being in all of existence that is greater than You are. And we are but creatures that You have made by the word of Your power. We owe our existence to You. We owe our continued existence to You from moment to moment. And You desire to speak to us. You have spoken to us. You do speak to us through Your word. Lord, we worship You as the God who speaks. We worship You as the God whose word is powerful, who gives life to the dead, who gives growth, who builds up His people through His word. Help us to treasure it as we ought. Help us to take it in as much as we can. Use it for our salvation and for our growth. Draw us closer to You. In Jesus' name, amen.